Well, if you'll take your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9, please. And just one text verse, verse 22. And I want to talk to you the next few minutes about things you cannot do without. Things that you just absolutely cannot do without. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. There's a parallel passage in Leviticus 17, verse 11 that goes along with this. And it's all about something called the blood. Verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Now, there are some things that you cannot do tonight. Some things you cannot do. There are some things that you can almost not do. I looked up a list of some things and they're pretty corny, but let me share them with you, just a few of them. You cannot raise one eyebrow. Now, I know that the minute I say that, somebody's going to be trying it while I'm up here preaching. Then you cannot lick your elbow. Don't be trying that now. You cannot wiggle your ear. Most people cannot. These are almost impossible. You cannot sneeze with your eyes open. And there are a few other things, so we won't go into all of those. But there are some things that you almost are not able to do, but there's some that you just cannot do. One of those things is you cannot be unborn. If you're born, you can't be unborn. And at the very moment of conception, you become a living soul, an entity, an individual that has a body, although it's very small, and you have a soul and a spirit, and God formed you. You're born, and you're going to have a soul that lives somewhere forever and ever. It's going to live somewhere forever and ever, and you cannot be unborn. I didn't ask to be born, did you? But I'm here, and I can't be unborn, neither can you. We are born and we have an eternal soul. We cannot escape death except for the rapture. And that is similar to death. It's a translation. And that's all death is. You move out of one house into the presence of the Lord. And at the rapture, when we're translated, if we happen to be living then, it's sort of like death. We go and be with the Lord, meet the Lord in the air, so on and so forth, as 1 Thessalonians tells us. So, but basically, we know it is appointed unto man once to die. Now, when are you going to die? Do you have it on your calendar? Do you know the time, the date? Is it going to be in the morning or the evening? Or when's it going to be? We don't know, do we? But we do know that we cannot escape death. The only exception to that would be the rapture of the church when Jesus comes to call us up to meet him in the air. And then a third thing that you cannot do is escape judgment. You're just not going to escape it. We all answer to God. And we all are going to face God. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We are going to face a thrice holy God. And there's no way out of it. It's going to be done. So there's some things you cannot do. Then there's some things you can do without. I've thought of a lot of things I could do without. I heard about an automated dog scratcher. Now I have a beautiful collie dog. Her name is Millie, which rhymes with Willie. And how she got that name is nobody's business. But at any rate, she was named before I got her. But I don't think I need to buy Millie a dog scratcher. There's some device that somebody concocted. It may have been a joke, but it was supposed to be like a car wash. And so if you got a little poodle, you run it through at a certain size. If you got a big dog, you run it through. But it'll scratch the dog all the way down and make them feel better. I think I can do without that. How about you? Could do without my dog, too. But at any rate, that'll get me in trouble with all the dog lovers. Millie's all right. Country boy went to New York and went down Fifth Avenue. And when he got back, his daddy said, "Son, what'd you think?" He said, "Daddy, I never saw so many things that I don't need. I've been down the Champs-Élysées in Paris, and I never saw so many things that I did not need. Now, my wife saw a couple she thought she needed, but she didn't get them. They're expensive on that street. I've been to Israel, as some of you have, and you went through the diamond factory. And I saw something that I really liked. It was a beautiful, beautiful men's watch. And it was the real thing. I mean, you can tell the real ones because the second hand just keeps on moving. That's how you can tell some that are rip-offs and some that are not on some of the good watches. You know, I bought one of those good watches in Brazil. I think it lasted about, 2 months, something like that, one of those copies. But at any rate, when we were there, I saw this beautiful watch. And I looked at the price tag, or asked, I think you had to inquire, and it was $5,000. Oh, it was a beautiful watch. And it had beautiful diamonds on it. But right away, I decided, I don't have to have that. And my wife agreed that I didn't have to have it. Sort of reminds me, and many of you have heard this, but it's like the woman that kept buying all these dresses. And she just kept on buying them. Her husband said, honey, you just don't need all those dresses. And you just keep buying them. And he said to her, the next time you go shopping, she said, I just can't help it. The devil tempts me, and I just buy them. Said, next time you go shopping, you say to Satan, get thee behind me. So she went shopping again, came back, had on a brand new, beautiful, expensive red dress. He said, honey, I thought I told you to tell Satan to get thee behind me. She said, I did. He said, well, and what happened? He said it looked real good from back there too. And so she went ahead and bought it. Well, there's some things we don't have to have, amen? You can think of a lot of things. We see them all the time. We go out shopping. One of the worst things you can do is go to the mall. But you see all those things that you think you need, but you really don't have to have as a general rule. There's nothing wrong with things in the right place. But there are some things you cannot do without. Some things you can do without, some things you cannot do, some things you cannot do without. And we've been singing about it all night. Number one, the shedding of blood. That's what the youth just got through singing. That's what some of our songs had in it tonight. We still are not ashamed to sing about the blood of Jesus Christ in our church. There are a lot of liberal denominations and people who have taken it out. And they've taken out one of the most important elements of the whole thing, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Verse 22 of our text, Hebrews 9, is very clear about that. Why does there need to be the shedding of blood? And why is it that cultures, there's probably never been a nation or a people that has not had some kind of sacrificial system that involved the shedding of blood, be it shedding of blood, be it animals or be it human beings. The Aztecs in the middle part of Mexico, I believe it's the middle part, and they have those pyramids. Some of you have probably been there and seen them. But the Aztecs would offer many human sacrifices. There are some who have estimated that on one occasion, they offered as many as 70,000 plus without ending. Now, someone has said they rather doubt that, but they know that there have been many times they have offered at one time as many as 2,000 human beings, people, as a sacrifice. Why in the world are they doing that? Why would anybody do that? What are they up to? The number one problem that people have, psychiatrists will tell you today, One of the number one problems, one of the things that they have to deal with is this word called guilt. You see, people know that there's something wrong. They sense that they are sinners, that they are guilty, something is wrong. And they want to appease God or the gods in some form or some fashion. And so for the Aztecs, they wanted to propitiate for their sins. They wanted, in some measure, to satisfy the ones that they thought were gods that they had offended, and therefore they offered sacrifices of men, women, boys, and girls to these gods to appease the offended gods. Guilt. There's none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one person in this building, no matter how morally good you are, that does not have some guilt in your life. The Bible declares it to be so. We are sinners. That's why we need a Savior. And that's why we need the shedding of blood. And in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb, that was nothing in the world but a type of the Lamb of God who was coming, Jesus Christ. And the shedding of that blood only moved that sin forward every year. But by faith, they were justified believing that Jesus was going to come and actually pay their sin debt. And that's exactly what it was depicting. The shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. And that's why Christ went to the cross. He died to shed His blood that we might be saved. His blood covers our sins. His blood never loses its power. It never does. Thank God for the blood. You cannot do without the blood. You cannot do without it. You'll never get to heaven until you get under the blood of Jesus Christ, until you have your sins washed away. What in the world? We had a lot of snow. What in the world could be whiter than snow? My life after Jesus washes it with His own blood. Whiter than snow. That's pretty white. And thank God that it's whiter than snow. And then you cannot do without faith. You can't do without the blood. And you cannot do without faith. You have to have faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us in that one verse, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And he's talking about God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently, carefully seek Him. You see, we have to have faith. I believe Jesus was coexistent with the Father before the foundation of the world. I believe He came by way of the Virgin Mary. I believe He lived on this in this earth. I believe He lived a perfect life. I believe He was crucified, buried, and arose. I believe there is a God who is self-existent, who never tries to prove Himself, but just says, I am that I am. Who should I tell Pharaoh sent me? Moses said. He said, tell him I am has sent you. I am. He's the one, the great and almighty God that we cannot fathom that exists. There is a God. How do you know? I believe it by faith. But I believe it. There are a lot of evidences that there is a God otherwise. But by faith, we have to believe it. And that's the way we have to get saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It takes faith. When I was a little 9-year-old lad, preacher, something sort of like this, and I knew I wanted to go to heaven, I knew I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew I didn't want to take a chance after I heard what he said. And by faith, that night, I went forward and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm a lot older than that now, but it was faith that justified me in trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Faith means you recline all of your weight on one thing, Jesus' sacrificial death for you. You see, it's not Jesus plus your good works. It's not Jesus plus joining a church. It's not your denomination, albeit you may be a Baptist. It isn't all of that. It has to be faith in the right thing, and the right thing is Jesus, and that is the only way that you'll get to heaven. I don't care what any religion says. If you believe God and you believe His Word and you believe what Jesus said, He has promised us He exclusively is the only door into heaven. Nobody else has ever done what He did. You have to believe that He died and was buried and arose. I believe that. How about you tonight? I believe it with all of my heart and all of my soul that Jesus came, paid my sin debt, died, buried, and was arose, and He arose. And that's the third thing we cannot do without is hope of the resurrection. We just cannot do without the hope, the understanding, and the belief of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ be not risen, just think about that a minute. And if Christ be not risen, if He is not raised, your faith is in vain. You can have all the faith you want, but if Christ didn't come out of that grave, it's in vain. Your faith is in vain. You're yet in your sins. But thank God He came out of the grave. Amen. Thank God he arose. Thank God he is at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the word to come back and catch his bride up to heaven. The scripture says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Suppose this was it. Wouldn't be a whole lot to get excited about or brag on, would it? Not that our lives are so bad, but if in this life only we have hope. But my hope is in a resurrected Savior. Amen. And because he lives, I will live also. Yes. Because he arose, I arose. Because he came out of the grave, I'll come out of the grave. Because he will be eternally alive with his Father at his right hand and live forever and forever, just as God the Father and the Holy Spirit will, I too will live with Jesus Christ forever and ever. He arose. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's what we base everything on, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we do not believe that, we have nothing to believe and we have no hope and we are lost in our sins. But if we believe it, we're saved. Now we've got to act on it. We have to trust him, ask him, and believe that he'll save us and he'll do it. So we must have the shedding of blood, without which you cannot be saved. And we must have faith in what that was all about and who did it for us. And we must believe in the resurrection. Now, the Bible says, the gospel is, that Jesus came and died and was buried and arose. And he did it for our sins. And I'm glad tonight that we can say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven because of these things. If you have appropriated them, if you have by faith appropriated Jesus Christ, his finished work, his resurrection power, and his shed blood, then you're going to heaven. But listen to me carefully. If you've never had a time and a place in your life where you've done that, you're not saved. You need to do it. Tonight would be a good night to do that. I was talking to a lady the other day on door-to-door visitation, and I asked her if she was saved. I believe Brother Peoples was with me, and we were talking to her, and she said, yes, I know I'm saved. I said, well, could you tell me what are you depending on if you were to stand before God? And he said, why should I let you to come into my heaven? What do you think you'd tell him? My soul. She went out on a rigmarole and went all around down about 10 or 11 different roads. Never came up with the truth. And when she got through, I said, ma'am, could I show you a few things in the Bible that you might find interesting? Just a few things in the Word of God. And I just simply took her to what I've told you tonight, basically, that she's a sinner. Jesus died for her, paid her sin debt. He was buried, and he arose to prove that God accepted what he did, and that God approved, the Father approved of it. And all who come to him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do it tonight. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Let me just say a word to the believers that are here. Thank God the blood keeps on keeping on. It never loses its power. If for some reason, some way, you have failed God, if you'll just come and put it under the blood tonight, don't carry your sin around. Confess it and forget it. Forget those things that are behind and press forward to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. There are some Christians that might need to lead the way tonight. But let me ask you, are you saved? Do you know if you died tonight, you're going to heaven? If you do, thank God that you do. Are you living for him? Is there anything else you need to take care of as a believer? Then do it. But if you're here without Christ, young person, boy or girl, child, adult, come tonight, make your way down front and just simply say, I know I'm a sinner and I believe Jesus died for me and I trust him. Nothing more, nothing less. I put all of my weight, I recline all of my hope on Jesus Christ who died for me, the Son of God. Would you come tonight? Father, bless in this invitation. And Lord, I'm sure in a congregation this large that's here tonight, both adults and young people, that some are not saved. They're not sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. Now, Lord, I've done the best I know how to make it simple and clear that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight that there'd be some who would step out and say, I commit my life to Christ. I trust him as my Savior. And I want to be forgiven and know I'm going to heaven. I want to be born again. Help them to realize, God, that's the only way. Without the shedding of blood and faith, belief in the resurrection of Christ, we cannot get to heaven. May your will be done. In Jesus' name.